Hallelujah. Well, God is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And knowing all that He has done, it ought to give you confidence. It ought to encourage you. It ought to strengthen you. It ought to enable you to fulfill the call of God, to follow through and accomplish what it is that God has gifted you to do and what God has enabled you to do, even when you have to face opposition. We're able to persevere because of the faithfulness of God in the strength of the Lord, because God goes before us. He cares for us. He loves us. And once you realize how much God loves you, and that's hard to realize, because it's so much more than we could even understand. But His love is limitless. Limitless. And because His love is limitless, He enables us to experience life from a different perspective. And so we can actually rejoice and be glad. We can be excited for what God is doing and what is happening even around us, because God is with you. And when God is with you, who can be against you? Who can stand against God's elect? Who? Who? Don't underestimate how much God loves you and is with you. All we need to do is trust Him. Call upon His name. Build your relationship with Him, and God will make a way, no matter what the situation is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, our lead verse today is James 1:19. And this verse says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." This is a challenging verse for many, and we know that in heated situations and circumstances that rise up, we respond, and oftentimes we respond without really thinking about our response. It's just a trigger, and we are impacted by what we hear or what we see or what is happening, even the thoughts that come into our mind. And so often we think thoughts come to us that we need to be able to release. Paul says to cast down thoughts and imaginations. Isn't that right? And you and I have to learn how to repel thoughts, repel things that rise up against us or cause us to come into a place where we're not experiencing the fruitfulness of God, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, and our ways become ways that actually go contrary to the ways of the Lord. And we have to learn how to cast those things down so that we can respond as God inspires us or imparts His strength to us to do what the Word of the Lord says we need to do in those circumstances. And so the question today is, what kind of thermometer do you use to gauge the temperatures in your life, the various temperatures of the experiences that you have that come your way, especially when things cause you to become heated? Have you ever been heated up in a situation or circumstances that come your way? Something someone says, something that someone does, causes your temperatures to rise. Well, God wants us to monitor our temperature. Monitor your temperature and even moderate it. Let it be temperate. God has called us to be a people who respond under His inspirations, not according to our emotional triggers. Don't let your emotions trigger you in your responses, but allow the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, to cause you to respond in the love of God, so that you can represent the kingdom of God and Christ Himself in whatever situation you find yourself. And so, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word, and we are grateful that you love us beyond our understanding. And we ask, God, that you would help us to represent you and your kingdom, that your will would be done in the midst of our lives. God, mold us and shape us. Wash us, Lord. Cleanse us from our worldly ways, our sinful ways. Forgive us for all of those things, God, that are not of you, that we have done. Make your will plain to us. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that the glory of God fill us with your Holy Spirit, that your strength would be imparted to us in difficult times, in situations that are overwhelming, that your peace would enable us to accomplish all that you have intended for us as your witnesses in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we must monitor our temperature. We must be sensitive to the atmosphere that we are operating in. Every atmosphere is established by the people who are in that presence, in that place. And we know that Satan is the prince and the power of the air, the Word of God tells us. And he is the one who modulates a lot of the temperatures or the atmosphere that we find ourselves in. So often we are in a situation where we're outnumbered with those who are born of the Spirit of God, born again, who are operating in a place of salvation through Christ, and those who are not. We're outnumbered by the unbeliever, by the people who are not of God, whose ways and thoughts and actions are those that are contrary to God. We watch TV programs and movies that are designed and orchestrated by people who are living their lives under the influence of a different spirit than the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God. And as we find ourselves in these environments and establishing ourselves in these environments, whether it be the workplace or whether it be some place where we have to go to work or shop or do something that needs to be done, we must always monitor the temperature. We must always be aware of the setting that we're in. And we must also monitor ourselves, so that we don't find ourselves aligning our responses and our ways and our thoughts according to the temperature of the atmosphere that we find ourselves in. And so, God has called us to be a people of light, a people who are able to shine. The light always brings a warmth. And when you have the warmth of light, it enables you to see and respond under the inspiration or the directions of God. And as we renew our mind, we're able to allow our thoughts to become aligned with the ways of God, with the directions that God has given us for life. And this is how we overcome fear. This is how we experience the behold of God. Because no matter what the situation is, God has given us some form of direction, some word, some way of understanding what His will is and how to apply the principles that He has given us in those moments, in those situations. And that comes when you learn how to call upon the name of the Lord. And so you might find yourself in situations that will cause your temperatures to rise. You might find yourself in circumstances that are beyond your control, beyond your understanding, and you get heated up and you begin to feel like the desert. You might respond in a way that is contrary to God. You might find yourself responding in a way that you are sorry for later on. You might find yourself in a situation where you've misrepresented God in some way. And that requires stability. We don't want to find ourselves responding in the wrong way. Back in the 1800s, there was a man who was named Fahrenheit. I'm sure you've heard that name before. And he was doing studies in monitoring temperature. And in the old days, they would use water in thermometers in order to gauge the temperature. But the problem with water was it changed way too often. Even if the wind blew for a certain period of time, it would change. And the temperature would adjust according to the temperature of the wind. It would go up or it would go down. And that became a problem, especially in the winter where you had colder temperatures and in climates where the temperature was hot all the time. So you didn't want temperatures that would change. You would literally look at the thermometer and it would give you one reading, and then you would go to do something and turn around and double check it again, and it would be different because something in the atmosphere shifted that much of a, that would have that much of an effect on the thermometer. And so Fahrenheit did some studies and he decided that he would test alcohol, and so they began using alcohol instead of water. And water was very quick reacting, but alcohol kind of did slow down a little bit, and that became the new standard, using alcohol in thermometers. But as more and more testing and studies went on, Fahrenheit discovered that mercury was even better. And so he began to use mercury in the thermometers in order to determine whether or not the temperature, what the consistency of the temperature was. And so as a result, we still now use mercury because it has been discovered that mercury has the ability to remain stable and constant and not quickly respond to changes in temperature, to slight changes in temperature, but was able to remain consistent over time. And as the temperature, the average of the temperature would rise, the mercury would also rise. But when there was a breeze or a breath of wind, or there was a shift in the temperature due to a fan or some cooling effect that was necessary in summer, the temperature would go up and down and up and down, and it would go back and forth, and you never really could get a stable reading. You never really knew exactly what the temperature really was. And so mercury has been now made the standard, is now what is currently being used. And you and I need to be able to live our lives and endure the winds of life, the challenges that we face, and remain constant in our temperature. We need to be able to have a consistency in ourselves that will enable us to rightly represent the kingdom of God, the word of God, and the people of God as God has called us to be, so that we would be, as James says, quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Understanding that, as verse 20 says here, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And so when we find ourselves in these types of situations that cause our temperatures to rise, we don't want to respond according to the heated situation. We don't want to respond in a way that will cause us to do something or say something that we would regret later, that would misrepresent the kingdom of God. We need the Spirit of God to bring temperance into our life. We need the Lord to help us in times of trouble. We need the Lord to keep us and to sustain us so that we don't, in our good intentions, in our well-intended actions, find ourselves misrepresenting God, doing something rash or responding quickly and not really praying things through or talking things through or working things out, but randomly making rash decisions and just making a run for it. God says, be slow, slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to hear. Be willing to hear. Be willing to listen so that you're able to discern what the will of the Lord is, so that you will be able to work out differences, work out any problems or any issues that would arise, even when it causes you to boil on the inside. God says, monitor your temperature. And we see this in the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 5 to 15 we'll be covering today. And it says here in verse 5 that then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand so that no one can stand against you. Oh, this is such a keen and important understanding to have, that when you find yourself in times of trouble, when you find yourself in difficult situations, don't allow the anger to grab hold of you in order to deal with some situation that needs to be managed. But remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. When you feel anger, when you feel the temperatures rising up, remember the name of the Lord. This is what Jehoshaphat was experiencing. He remembered all that God was able to do, all that God was willing to do in behalf of his people. He remembered the testimony of the Lord. Do you have a testimony of the Lord? Do your parents have a testimony? Do your friends have a testimony? Does anyone you know have a testimony or have a story of how God is a deliverer, of how God has all power in his hands, of how he has might and strength to heal, deliver, and set free? If anyone you know has shared their story or their testimony of the Lord, it was God who enabled you to hear it. Be quick to hear it. Hold on to it. Trust in the Lord. Remember in your own time of distress, your own time of trouble, your own time of hardship and difficulty, hold on to the testimony of what the Lord has done. If he's done it for others, he will do it for you. Hallelujah. He will. And so verse 7 says, did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? He's reminding God of the testimony, of the story. Oh, this is a comforting thing to be able to meditate on. God's ability to heal, deliver, and set free. And so he says in verse 8, they have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house. and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Hallelujah. So, no matter what it is that rises up against you, no matter what it is that you may have done wrong yourself to cause some trouble to happen, remember the faithfulness of God. Remember the Lord. Remember the testimony of God. This is what is being brought out, the testimony. This is what God has done. This is what he is able to do. Is the name of the Lord in your house? Is the name of the Lord in your house? Is the name of the Lord in your house? Is the name of the Lord in your heart, in your life? The name of the Lord is in my house. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is in our church. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord ought to be in your car, on your job. Everything you do it unto the Lord. You do it in the name of the Lord. This is what the Word of God tells us we ought to be doing. Not in our own strength, not in our own name, but in the name of the Lord. And that gives you access. Access to God. He says that you can cry to the Lord in your distress. Rather than get angry, rather than get mad. I'm not saying you don't feel it. I'm not saying it doesn't trigger you and cause your temperatures to rise. But I'm saying the Spirit of God can give you temperance. I'm saying that when you draw upon the Lord, when you call upon the name of the Lord, God will enable you to be steady. You can become mercury in the times of trouble instead of alcohol or water. But God will enable you to be liberated in your times of trouble. It says, he will hear you and deliver us. Hallelujah. He will deliver us. Is this not who God is? Isn't he a deliverer? Isn't he a healer? Isn't he one who renews and revives? Doesn't he love you that much that he would care for you, that he would watch over you? Absolutely, he does. Saints of God, you're loved by God. You know how a mother loves their child, how a father loves their child, how parents care for their children. Oh, when you have a child, they touch your heart. Don't they touch your heart? Is there anything you would not do for them? Even when they are in trouble, wouldn't you do everything in your power, in your strength, to help them, to comfort them, to enable them to overcome whatever the situation is? We respond out of the love in our hearts. God is the same way. God is the same way. But his love is immeasurable. His love is immeasurable. We cannot measure the love of God. He has got so much more love than we could ever even imagine, the Word of God says. How much more will God do for us who cry out to him in our distresses? Don't allow the enemy, the one who's the prince and the power of the air, to rob you of the attributes of God, of your right as a child of God to come before the throne of God with boldness. Don't allow Satan to rob you, because God has already made provision for everything that will ever happen to you in your life. God knows. Do you think that God is surprised by some mistake that you make, some bad decision that you make, some bad choice, something that you do and not even really thinking about it, in the heat of the moment, in the situation, you give in or you go and do something that you shouldn't have done. You respond out of anger or in some other way that is not the best way to have responded. Do you think that surprised God? Do you think they're scrambling in heaven going, oh, what are we going to do now? And there's a meeting with the angels and the cherubim and the seraphim. And all of a sudden, you know, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have to call a conference to discuss what the next plan is going to be. What is the strategy? How are we going to solve this problem? How are we going to fix this? How are we going to deal? No, none of that is required. None of that is required because Jesus has already paid your sin debt. Jesus has already paid your sin debt. And because Christ has suffered the penalty of our sin, the Word of God tells us that He forgives us if you confess. He forgives us if we confess. So we confess our sin. And when you confess your sins, He is faithful and He is just, right? To forgive us of our sin. Why? Because of His love for us. Isn't that what Paul says? Doesn't the Word of God say, love covers a multitude of sins? A multitude of sins. Love will cover your sins. God's love is immeasurable. His love never runs out. His love never runs dry. Even the rebellious, even those who are looking to have their own will accomplished, to do their own way, God still has love for them. And He gives them the ability to return. To return. Does He not say, return to me, O backslider? Doesn't He call the backslider to repentance? Oh, saints of God, isn't that the story of Jonah, the one who rebelled to go against the will of the Lord, to do His own will? Well, saints of God, God has room for you at the cross. There is room for you at the cross. We can pray. We can call upon the name of the Lord, and He will deliver us. No matter how bad your sin may seem to be, no matter how difficult your situation may seem to be, God is able to deliver you. When the enemy rises up, the Word of God says He will raise up a standard against him. When the enemy comes against you, we see this in the story of Jehoshaphat. Verse 10 says, now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. Do you remember this story? When they came out, the Israelites came out of Egypt. Do you remember how they came out of Egypt? They went into the promised land. And as they traveled through the promised land, there were various nations of people that were rising up against them in order to keep them from passing through. Well, some of those nations are here. The Ammonites. You remember the Ammonites? There's the Moabites. Do you remember the Moabites? And then there are the people of Mount Seir. These had gathered together. You remember who the Ammonites are and the Moabites? You remember Lot? Remember when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah and the Lord destroyed the city and He said, if there's 50 righteous, will you destroy the city? How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? And God said, all right, if there's 10. Well, there wasn't 10. And so God destroyed the city. I'm sure you remember the story. But He did tell Lot and his two daughters. He told their family, everybody out. And He sent angels to minister to them. Do you remember that? He sent angels. And this is significant because God will always raise up someone to minister to you in your time of difficulties. In your times of trouble, God raises up an angel. He sends someone who is a representative, a messenger. An angel is a messenger sent from God to minister to you in your time of need, in your time of difficulty, there's someone who has a word from the Lord who is able to minister the word of God to you so that you can be delivered, so that you can be set free, so that you can be lifted up, so that you can experience the renewing power and strength of God in your life. And so, be encouraged today and know that God has not come to destroy. He has not come to hinder you. He has not come to chastise you or to beat you down for your mistakes or for the things you've done wrong. He is not coming to ruin your joy, rob you of your joy, but indeed he's come to restore it. Oh, he does bring correction. He does help us to see and learn where we need to change and what we have done wrong. He does bring us to a place of repentance, but not so that we can be beat up and suffered and held down, but so that we can be strengthened in order to be raised up, so that we can rightly represent him, so that we can experience all that he has for us, so that we can be restored unto God. So God said, when they came through the wilderness to the Israelites, yes, these people are a problem, but that's okay. Let them live. He says, we will not fight them. Let's go around. And God worked Israel around the Ammonites and the Moabites in that area of Mount Seir. And he allowed them to live. But everyone else that confronted the Israelites, they fought. And the Lord fought for them. So much so that the word and the testimony of God fighting for Israel spread across all the nations that were in that region. And they became afraid that God was with them. And saints of God, no matter what it is you're facing, no matter what it is you deal with on a regular basis, or things that pop up like the wind and cause your temperature to rise, call on the name of the Lord. Remember the Lord and allow him to monitor your temperature, to moderate your temperature so that you will be able to overcome. Verse 11 says, see how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. So they're saying, God, help us. These people that we showed mercy to, that we spared, that we didn't destroy, are now banding together and coming against us. This is how they repay us for our kindness, for our grace and our mercy toward them. This is the way they respond. This is your inheritance. You gave us this land. What are you going to do, God? We need your help. We need your help. We're crying out to you. Have you ever cried out to God? Have you ever felt like you were overwhelmed by the magnitude of a situation that you found yourself in? Call out to God. Call out to God. Don't underestimate God's ability to hear and respond in your time of need. Verse 12 says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Have you ever been in that situation? It's just so big, you don't even know what to do. You don't know how to respond. You don't know. It's just, there's no hope. The situation seems hopeless. Everything, when you do the math, when you work it all out, when you look at the numbers and all of the options that you have available to you, there's just nothing. You've got nothing. You can't win. You can't do it. You can't accomplish. You can't even stay where you are. Destruction is surely coming your way. Have you ever felt like that? Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. He said, all Judah was there standing before the Lord. Do you see that? With their infants, their wives, and their children. Everyone. Families, when you find yourself in situations that are bigger than you, you got to call everybody together. There's just those times you just got to call everybody together. And you have to cry out unto God. You have to cry out unto God. The wives, the infants, children, everybody, families, whole houses. When you find yourself in situations, everybody needs to band together in one accord, in one place, so the Spirit of God can breathe upon us. The Spirit of God can bring forth newness of life, revival, strength, and power when you just don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, you call on the name of the Lord. You cry out to God. This is how we gain victory. This is how we overcome. Because God is the one who makes the way for us. God is the one watching over us. We belong to the Lord. We are children of God. We are called by his name. He is the one who is holding us in his loving arms. He loves us. He cares for us. His desire is for us and not against us. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we do the wrong thing. We make bad choices. But the love of God is consistent. The Lord does not love you less. He knew of your sinfulness. That's why he sent Jesus to the cross. He knew the mistakes you will make. And there will be no shortage of them, I'm sure. But God is fully aware, and he knows. But did he not save you? Did he not deliver you? Did he not make a way for you through Christ? Didn't Christ die for your sins? Didn't he didn't say, hold on, before you put that last nail in, I'm canceling out these people. I'm calling out certain names. They got some sins down in the 21st century that, whoa, baby, can't cover those. Is that what happened? No, it's not what happened. It's not what happened. We know from John chapter 3 that Jesus died for all of the sins in the world. All of the sins in the world have been paid for. Jesus has already paid our sin debt. The mistakes that you made, the bad choices that you made, the debt is already paid. The punishment has already been paid. Hallelujah. Oh yes, we have to deal with the consequences of our bad choices and our bad actions. But God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age of the world. No matter how big the problem seems to be, no matter how challenging the situation may be, no matter how hard it seems, it may be impossible even, know that the Lord is with you. When you don't know what to do, when you find yourself in difficult situations, remember to call upon the name of the Lord. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I, Jesus said, came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Hallelujah. That word abundantly means that it never runs out. That he's going to give you life that continually begats more life. Produces more life, and not just life, but abundant life, the fullness, the wholeness, the completeness of life. Hallelujah. That ought to make you excited. God has come. So no matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how hard it might seem, we can call upon the Lord, and God will raise up the thief. Notice what it says about the thief. How does he come? He only comes to steal. When the thief comes, he doesn't come to do chores around the house. The thief does not come to cook you meals or to do laundry or anything like that. He doesn't come in order to try to help do yard work or try to help you fix your car or, you know, solve any issues or problems. He's not here to help you take care of the kids or to watch over them to try to, you know, give you some kind of relief. He only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He only comes. And when you're dealing with the devil, you better know what you're dealing with. Because no matter how good it looks, he only came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Satan is patient. And he will wait you out for your time of weakness. And in your time of yieldedness and faint-heartedness, that's when he strikes. He strikes when no one is home. He'll strike when people are asleep. He will strike when he sees a way in and an opportunity. And that is why we must stay focused and stay aware. Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. And so the prince in the power of the air, the spirit that's at work all around us in the world today, as you watch the news, as we watch TV programs designed by those who operate in darkness and are under the influence of the prince and the power of the air, we abide in these atmospheres, taking in these programs and watching these YouTube videos over and over again. And we find ourselves, you watch one thing, and all of a sudden, here's another one just like it. And then there's another one just like that one, and another one just like that one. And before you know it, you find those YouTube shorts, and then you're looking at these little short clips, and every minute, you're like, tick, ding, and there's another thing, and there's another thing, and then there's another thing, and then there's another thing. Before you know it, 3 hours has gone by, and your time has been consumed, and your mind has been refocused, has been reshaped. You watch one critical thing, why I don't go to this church anymore, and why I don't listen to this pastor, and why I don't do this, and why I don't do that, and 10 things that you need to stop doing now as a child of God. And all of these things are designed to bring a contrary spirit. They're a contrary spirit. They are not spirits that give life. It is not the spirit that perpetuates life. It is not of the atmosphere of the kingdom of God, but it is the atmosphere of the world, the realm where the prince of darkness has full control, coming as an angel of light, appearing to be that which is good. But when you look at Philippians, you learn it is not good. And so he invades us. He comes into our life. It says that the Israelites were there in a situation where they were being overwhelmed. They were being overtaken by the Ammonites and by the Moabites and the people of Mount Seir. And these people were rising up in such a great multitude. They were outnumbered severely, and they were afraid. It was an invasion. There was an invasion taking place. And that's the way Satan attacks you and I. It's an invasion. And what seems like it's one thing, then all of a sudden it's another thing, then another thing, then another thing. And it's like popcorn going off. Ba, 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 ba. There's all kinds of like little things going on. And you can become overwhelmed. You find yourself feeling like you've been invaded, and you have, by a spiritual army that is now firing the darts of the wicked one at you. And we have to learn how to quench them. Otherwise, they will overrun us. It will overwhelm us. We will be stormed and attacked, where an incursion will take place, and we'll find ourselves under the offensive and being assailed and assaults taking place, and the onslaught of the enemy will raid us to the point of destruction. Well, we will find ourselves robbed, killed, and destroyed. Our resources, our time, our will, our desire, our motivations, the things that cause us to be inspired, to be creative, and to do the things that God has called us to do. Satan comes to rob you. To rob you of your relationships with your family members, with your friends, with your church family, with your loved ones. Satan comes to kill those relationships. He comes to rob you of the joy, the peace, your patience, your kindness, your gentleness. All of a sudden, you're operating in the wrong spirit. You've taken on the spirit of the invader. God says, don't let that happen to you. I came that you might have life. Monitor your temperature. Don't allow the enemy to cause your temperatures to rise so that you explode with an invasion force. Jehoshaphat, he was the son of Asa, who was the other good king, one of the other good kings. There weren't that many of them. And he had his problems. He made his mistakes. He failed to remove the Asher and the shrine of Baal. And people were worshiping Baal, and some people were worshiping God, and there was this mix. Even though Jehoshaphat was faithful, and he held on to God, God brought this invasion force. And when the invasion force came in, who showed up before the Lord? Everyone. Everyone. God is trying to reach everyone, all of us. It's not just one person's fault. It's just not one problem. God is saying, my people who are called by my name, humble yourselves and let's pray. God is calling us together to pray. Families, come together and pray. Ministry teams, gather together and let's pray. Church family, let's get together. And let's pray. Let's learn how to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's not take anything for granted. Let's learn how to call on God so that he can deliver us. The word of God says you don't have because you don't ask. And if you don't ask, don't expect to receive because you can't without asking. Daniel in 9:21-22 says, while I was speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I seen in a vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. This is an interesting time, isn't it? And this man came and he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight with understanding. Hallelujah. This is why you must come together and pray before the Lord. Daniel was a man of prayer, was he not? And Daniel was able to not only have a relationship with God, but so much so that God would speak to him and give him the ability to understand dreams, and he was able to minister to even heathens and unbelievers, the people that were oppressing him. Daniel was able to be a blessing to them. And that is what God wants for all of us. God wants us to be a people of prayer, so much so that we're able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that we would be quick to hear, so that we would be able to, even in times of great difficulty. Here's Daniel when he is in a time, he is being oppressed. He is during, the people of Israel are oppressed. They're in a place of bondage. They are now under the oppression of the Babylonians. And here they are, and God's giving them peace. God said, I know that the Chaldeans are a rough people. They are the worst enemy anyone has ever had in the history of the world. They are that evil, that bad. But God says, I will be with you when they capture you. Go with them. And God watched over them. And Daniel was in a time of great stress, great hardship and difficulty. It was oppressive, but God was with him. And God rose up. He rose up a man that he saw in a dream, and he came to him to give insight with understanding. Do you need insight with understanding today? That is what God will do. He will give us insight with understanding. We can pray. We can call upon the name of the Lord. We can trust in God. That's why the psalmist here in Psalm 34, 7 said, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them." Hallelujah. When you pray, when you commune with God, when you have a relationship with God, God dispatches angels. He will send an angel to minister to you. God will have an angel watching over you, the word of God tells us. I don't have time to get into it. But there are angels that are sent by God to those who love him, those who are in a relationship with him, those who fear the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? Oh, saints of God, I pray that you fear the Lord. I would fear the Lord before being worried about people. Because God can deal with people. But if God is against you, oh, Lord, have mercy. And that is why God says to trust him, to call upon his name. He is a rescuer. God has come to rescue us, to rescue us. He is the God who has come to give us life and life more abundantly. And God's desire for us is to make it to the other side. His desire for us is to accomplish his will and his purposes. It is the will of God for us to be able to overcome, to be transformed into his likeness. Philippians 4:19, Paul says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Do you know why Paul said this? Are you familiar with this story? He said it to the Philippian church because when he was in need, they helped him. When he needed money, when he needed help, they were there. They sent resources of financial resources. He got help when he needed it. They ministered to his situation to enable him to accomplish what God had charged him to do. And as a result of their faithfulness, God said to them that he will supply all of their needs. In other words, you will never run dry. You will never run dry. The more you give, the more will come into you. Isn't that the principle of sowing and reaping? Do you know why poor people stay poor? Because they don't give. And when you learn how to give, you will stay broke. And you have to learn how to give in the name of the Lord. You have to be a sower. You have to be someone who's able to give. And the more you give, the more keeps coming in. When you hold on, you say, "Oh, I can't afford it. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, you're speaking that into the atmosphere where the prince of darkness says, "Yes, I know." And you will stay there. You speak it into the air. The prince in the power of the air says, "Yes, back at you." And that becomes a part of you. And even in your mind, when opportunities come for you to do better, you can't perceive of it. And so you won't even take the risk of trusting God to seize an opportunity to have life. Satan blinds you and he robs you. But when you are a giver, God causes the flow to move in your life. You're able to experience divine provision. When you do the thing you say you can't do or you can't afford to do, when God says you should do it or it's something God is calling you to do or something you know you ought to be able to do or you want to do, then you ought to sow into it. And then God causes something to happen. He causes something to happen that otherwise would not have happened unless you did what God was giving you to do. That's the story of the Israelites all through the wilderness. They would have never escaped the Egyptian army if Moses had not have stepped down into the Red Sea with his staff. and said, stand still and see the salvation of God. It wasn't until they moved into the water that the water parted. Saints of God, you've got to learn how to move into the waters. God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Isaiah 65, 23 says, they will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. Are you the blessed of the Lord? Do you belong to God? Are you a child of God? Are you bought by the blood of Jesus? Have you had your sin debt paid? Are you yielded and surrendered to Christ? Well, saints of God, know that your whole house is blessed by the Lord. Your children and their children's children, they were not born for calamity. Your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. The sacrifices that you make for the sake of the kingdom of God, to help others, to be a blessing, they're not in vain. The blessing of the Lord is flowing through your house. Your descendants are covered under the righteousness of God that you have sown. God is watching over your house. Thou shalt be saved and your household. Hallelujah. This is what God says. Verse 24 says, it will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Saints of God, there are advantages to crying out to God. We cry out to God. God says, I can feel what you feel. I feel your temperature beginning to rise. I feel the pressure. I feel the strain. I feel the battle coming on. I know that you're understanding that there is a war that is about to break loose. But rather than explode in anger, call upon God. Cry out to God. God is able to see you through. He can hear your voice, and he will enable you to overcome, and you will be able to experience the delivering power of God. God will intervene. God will intervene. God will make a way even when it seems impossible before you can even get it out. Sometimes you're just like, you can't even get it out. God is already sending the answer. He's already sending the answer. He said, before you call, hallelujah. He said, it will also come to pass that before they call, I have already answered. I've already answered. The answer is already on its way. And while you are speaking, by the time you get it out, God has already heard it. He's already heard it. Don't underestimate God's ability to intervene in your life. Verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 20 tells us that in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. God will raise up somebody in the spirit. God will raise up someone in the spirit. This is why you should always ask people to pray for you. This is why you should always have people interceding for you, for your family, for your household. You should always be engaged in interacting in prayer. You need people who are able to be engaged with God in your behalf. You need to be able to come together and be in situations where you can hear of other people's struggles, other people's difficulties and hardships. If all you know and all you're aware of are your own problems and your own situation, you will be overwhelmed by the spirit of the enemy, and he will cause you to spiral down into the ground. But when you tap into someone else, when you tap into other people who have trials and difficulties and hardships, God can raise up a ministering spirit that comes from the Lord, and he can cover everyone and everything. And you will find yourself in a new atmosphere, in a new place a place where God is at work. Verse 15 says, and he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you too, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear. Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. Saints of God, now you know the rest of the story. You see, when you're in trouble, when you're in times of need, you got to bring everybody together. You bring your sons, you bring your daughters, you bring your wife, your children, whoever else is there. Bring grandma if she's there. You bring everybody. You bring grandpa. You pull them together and you call upon the name of the Lord. You ask God to rise up in your behalf. You cry out in the name of the Lord, because the battle is only the Lord's if you give it to him. If you give it to him. If you don't give it over to the Lord, then you keep it. Then you will keep it. And saints of God, there's more of them than there is of you. And I can assure you that you will be overwhelmed. You will be overtaken. You will find yourself in a place of defeat, because Satan understands that if he can isolate you and your problem and your thinking and the things that are going on in your mind, and you don't cast them down and you don't align yourself to the truths of God and surround yourself with people who can minister to you and bring you to a place of temperament and balance, you will be overwhelmed and you will be overtaken by the spirit of oppression and bondage. And you will find yourself like the heathen, imagining a vain thing and doing evil works. So saints of God, give it over to God. And when you give it to God, the battle becomes the Lord's. Hebrews 1:14 says, as we close, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? God is wanting to send out ministering spirits. There are ministering spirits. God will raise up people. God will cause the witness of God to rise up and to show up, and you will experience the power of God in ways that you couldn't have even calculated or figured out, because God causes it to happen because you called upon the name of the Lord. James 1:19 says, this you know, my beloved brethren, everyone, husbands, wives, and children, grandparents, cousins, uncles, pick a relative, everyone has to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Say that again with me. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. 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 So don't let your temperature get out of control. Don't let the heat of the situation cause you to become overwhelmed or overtaken by oppression. Moderate your temperature. Allow the Spirit of God to give you temperance. Don't be like the water thermometer. Don't be like the alcohol thermometer. Be like the mercury thermometer. And allow the Spirit of the Lord to keep your temperature stable. Have consistent temperatures. Monitor your temperature, saints of God. Do not be afraid. Then the behold of God will show up in ways that you could never even imagine, because God is faithful and he loves you so much that no matter how bad it seems, he will still fight for you. The Lord is able. And if you call upon the name of the Lord, he can do abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. Do you trust him? Do you believe his word today? Well, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will be magnified in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.
You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Learn the importance of calling on God today. That you don't allow situations and circumstances to cause you to respond or react too quickly, but that you would have temperance, and that you would allow God to raise up a ministering spirit that can speak peace to you, that will enable you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, so that you will be able to handle situations in a way that brings glory and honor to God. That you would be able to have eyes to see and ears to hear. That you would be able to know that God is with you. That He is able to do abundantly more than you could ask or imagine. Well, Lord, I pray that you would glorify yourself in the midst of your people. I pray, oh Lord, that you would show yourself again and again and again. And that no weapon formed against your people will prosper, but that in all their ways, as we acknowledge you, as we call upon the name of the Lord, as we confess our faults and confess our sins, we are able to be healed, delivered, and set free, and that the glory of God would prevail in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Well, glory to God. I thank you for coming for the Orange County Gospel Fellowship with us today.
To show you
that the Spirit of the Lord will continue to mold you and shape you into the image of Christ, that the glory of God will prevail in every aspect of your life as Christ gives you life. Life. More abundant. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Your desire prayer, the altar.
And there's not a place your mercy and grace.